Well, last week and again this week, we listened and some of us even sang the words of that song, "These Are the Days of Elijah." We saw United States Marines singing, jumping around, enthusiastically singing praise to God, acknowledgement that there's something going on here. And you heard those voices as they referred to a lot of different stories in the Bible. And so today, we're going to look at some of those Bible events. I'm concerned that many of us don't know the meaning of those various references. So, we're going to start out at the beginning of that song. There's a parallel between the days of Elijah and today's America. I think if we talk about the days of Elijah, perhaps you'll see that what we're doing here in our country is so similar to what happened then. And if you read the story, you'll see that the people of Israel were punished just as the people of America will be punished sooner or later if we don't change. We're going to begin our study this morning in the 16th chapter of the first book of Kings. I'm not going to read it all to you, but I want to point out that in this single chapter, covering only 14 years, Israel had 5 different kings. These kings ignored God's will and sometimes actively disobeyed what they knew was God's will. We're going to start reading at verse 29. It's page 348 in your pew Bibles if you want to follow along. In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, now sometimes in the Bible they mark time by referring to a nearby kingdom, a ruler that you can probably find history about. So we look to Judah, the nearest kingdom, and say, during King Asa's reign, the 38th year, this happened. Ahab, son of Omri, became king of Israel. He reigned in Samaria over Israel 22 years. Ahab, son of Omri, did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. He not only considered it trivial to commit the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, but he also married Jezebel, daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians. And he began to serve Baal and to worship him. He set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal that he built in Samaria. Ahab also made an Asherah pole and did more to arouse the anger of the Lord, the God of Israel, than did all the kings of Israel before him. In Ahab's time, Hiel of Bethel rebuilt Jericho. He laid its foundations at the cost of his firstborn son, Abiram, and he set up its gates at the cost of his youngest son, Segub, in accordance to the word of the Lord spoken by Joshua the son of Nun. And let me read that. It's in Joshua 6:26. At that time, Joshua pronounced this solemn oath: "Cursed before God is anyone who undertakes to rebuild this city, Jericho. At the cost of his firstborn son, he will lay down its foundations, and at the cost of his youngest son, he will set up its gates." These are the days of Elijah. This is what he was coming into: a government that was corrupt, people that didn't believe the curses that were in the scriptures. This man didn't believe that God would curse his sons if he rebuilt Jericho. So he did it anyway. Just like Americans don't believe that God will curse us and our children to the third and fourth generation of those that hate him. And if we take the time to go back and read all the curses that are in the Bible for those that turn away from God, most of us don't even know what they are. let alone believe them. And so these people, they didn't believe God. And we don't believe God, so many of us. We're going to pick it up then at 1 Kings 17, the first 6 verses. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain for the next few years except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward and hide in the Kirith ravine east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there." So he did what the Lord had told him, and he went to the Kirith ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. Elijah brought the word of the Lord. It was dangerous for him. The king was out to kill him. But God looked over him. God had a plan for him. God said, "Now get out of there for right now. I have a place for you. I'm going to take care of you." And so Elijah left. And then about 3 years later, God said, "Okay, Elijah, things are ripening here. Go back to Ahab. I've got a message for Ahab." 1 Kings chapter 18, starting at the 17th verse. When he, that's Ahab, saw Elijah, he said to him, "Is that you, troubler of Israel?" Notice the classic misdirection that we see in our society so often. Got a problem here. Oh, look over there. Somebody brought a solution. Don't listen. Over here. Or blame somebody, even the person who brought the solution. Misdirection. It's so prevalent. And here it is, the king saying to Elijah, "Oh, you troubler of Israel." And Elijah said, "I have not made trouble for Israel, but you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed the Baals. Now summon the people from all over Israel and meet me on Mount Carmel, and bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table." Perhaps you remember the story. They all got together. And Elijah said, "Okay, you're going to set up your altar. And you're going to call to your God. And if he's truly God, he's going to burn that offering. He's going to light the fire. And I'm going to set up an altar to Almighty God, Creator. And the God that brings fire, that's God Almighty, the true God." And so there are 850 priests of Baal and Asherah. And they kill the bull and they build the altar and they're dancing around and they're doing all their religious rituals and they're cutting themselves with knives. And they're bleeding and they're shouting and screaming and singing and carrying on for most of the day. And Elijah mocked them. He said, "Come on, shout louder. Maybe your God is sleeping. Maybe he's gone on a trip." Finally, in the afternoon, Elijah said, "Now it's my turn." And he built an altar. And he put the animal on it with the wood. And then he said, "Bring water." And he dug a ditch around that altar. And they poured it over the offering and the altar and the wood and everything and soaked it. And he said, "Again." And again, they soaked it. There was water running in the ditch around it. Everybody said, "That can't burn." And Elijah prayed to God. And God sent down fire from heaven and it burned the offering and it burned the wood and it burned the stones and it burned the dirt around the altar. Almighty God. And then God sent rain on the land to break the drought. How can you not know God Almighty? And we have these lessons to learn from. And God built America. And there was a time when we all believed, a nation under God. And we started our school days with prayer. We prayed at our meals. We prayed at our meetings. And now we've outlawed God's commandments. We've outlawed prayer. We've driven God out of our lives, in our government, in our schools. What do you think God is going to do? We know what God's called for. And then Elijah said, take these prophets, 850 of them, and kill them. And they took them out and they killed them. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I will not make your life like one of them. And Elijah was afraid and he ran for his life. And he traveled 40 days to get away from the evil of Israel and Jezebel. 19th chapter, verse 9. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. And the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. Elijah felt that he was the only one left. And sometimes it feels that way right here. Maybe you feel that way. We're only a small little group. In a community of 1,600 people, look how many people come to worship God on a Sunday morning. We've got two other churches. Their attendance isn't any better. Elijah said, God, I'm the only one left. But God had other plans. And he said, Elijah, you go back there. I've got work for you. And he sent him back to set in motion a new king in Aram. He anointed this man, and he conspired against his king and took his place. His job, even though he didn't fear God, was to punish the Israelites. And Elijah went and anointed a new king for Israel, Jehu. And he went and got rid of Ahab and Jezebel. Didn't do it himself, but he made it happen. And then Elijah went out and he found the man that God had prepared to take his place when he was gone, Elisha, and began to train him for God's work. And God pointed out to Elijah that there were still thousands of Israelites who had not bowed down to Baal. And we need to know that there are thousands of Americans, and perhaps even Winnebagoes, hundreds, we aren't thousands. But there are people out there who do believe in Jesus. We're not alone. We need to draw together. Invite them in. Make them part of us and us part of them. Friends, America is not unlike the days of Elijah. We've many congressional leaders that are in favor of murder of our children. There are many leaders that want things that will not be good for our country. And we are divided. If I were to say Democrat or Republican, our minds jump immediately to certain things. What did your mind do when I said those two words? Where did your mind go? You see, every one of us, that's a trigger. And that's what makes us move. But what if I said, love one another? What if I said, find out how you can connect with the next person? Find out how you can work together with people. You see, that's what God is calling us to do. Now, I warn you, be careful. Because there are going to be other people that will bring that message. But they will cause it to happen with side effects that are contrary to the will of God. Or they maybe won't really want it to happen as people of God. We have resolutely destroyed God's plan for families. We have made our men worthless in many cases. All they're good for is breeders. A lot of women have a number of different men, but they're not parents to their children and their grandchildren. We don't need men. I've heard that expression. I've had women tell me, oh, I didn't have a father. I turned out okay. But God's plan is for a man and a woman to come together and commit for a lifetime together, where a woman can nurture her children without having to worry about protecting them and providing for them. And where a man is expected to provide and care for and protect his family. Not in America. But that's God's plan. And it is so prevalent we hardly even think about it anymore. These are the days like Elijah's. Perhaps you are one of those people that God is calling to stand up and say, I can do that. Or, I can do that. Give me the responsibility to look after this. I'll make sure it gets done. I'll call the right people. I'll motivate them. If I need to call them on Sunday morning and say, get out of bed and do this, I'll do it. Or maybe it's your own children. You say, hey, you need to learn. Is God calling you to step up, to be and do what He's planned? Perhaps our nation can escape what happened to Israel.